We're focusing today on a parable of Jesus that is just a couple of verses long. Verse 45 of our reading from Matthew 13. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. I don't know if anyone here is wearing pearls or brought pearls. I'm hoping one or two might for the later service. Pearls, of course, are most commonly worn for us as a necklace, though there's a particularly famous painting and recently book, and then Phil focuses on a girl with a pearl earring. Some men might have pearl cufflinks, and in parts of London, they have what are called pearly kings and queens, who wear costumes with lots of pearl buttons sewn on them. Technically, I think it's mother of pearl, generally. Pearls, of course, grow inside certain oysters and mollusks. And even if you can't catch the right species, there's only something like a 1 in 10,000 chance that they will contain a pearl that's grown there naturally. What happens is that once in a while, a small mollusk living in a shell has its tissues injured by something that attacks it. The creature makes a pearl sac to defend itself, and that becomes a hard, round, shiny ball. Many thousands of pearl oysters or mussels must be gathered and opened to find even one wild pearl inside, though. These days, however, pearls are rather more common, rather more affordable to most of us, because we've learned how to cultivate them or to make imitation pearls. The picture that we began with came from a shopping website, Temu, and this necklace could be yours for 50p, including postage from China. How do they do that? I don't know. Apparently, the more uniform and more perfect a string of pearls are, the more likely they are to be fake. Natural pearls found in the wild can be extremely valuable still, though. Now, this light might look on the picture like a half-worn bar of soap in an unusual dish. Maybe that's all it looks like in real life. But it's the world's largest natural wild pearl, the Giga pearl. It weighs 28 kilograms, about as much as the average 9-year-old child, and it's valued at nearly £100 million. And that's more like the kind of thing we need to have in mind as we think about Jesus' words. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, he began. Could be thinking of someone who went searching in the sea. More probably, though, he was thinking about someone travelling. If you watch antique shows on television, well, think of Drew Pritchard doing a tour in his salvage hunter's van. Only, of course, riding a donkey because vans hadn't been invented then. And coming across someone who was offering to sell him a pearl that was extremely valuable. When he was allowed to see the pearl, it was the most beautiful one he had ever caught sight of. Large and smooth. Round, but not quite perfectly round, giving off a glow, a luster. Maybe it was white, maybe it was black like some pearls are, or some other colour. Our artist has drawn the pearl as slightly pink. And as he looked at this exceptionally fine pearl, the merchant thought to himself, I've got to have it. How much do you want for the pearl? He asked. The man who owned it knew it was the best pearl in the whole world and asked a very high price. The merchant at the centre of the parable didn't have that much money to hand, so he returned home and sold everything he had. The artist who's drawn this picture reckons he might even had to have sold his best clothes and make do with some old ones instead. And he took the huge sum of money he'd managed to gather together to buy the precious pearl. The merchant sacrificed everything he had until at last he owned the one thing that was most precious to him, that exceptionally special pearl. It's an intriguing parable because, of course, Jesus is not telling us that a fine pearl or any other object that we might own will make us happy. On the contrary, he very clearly taught his followers, your true life is not made up of the things you own, no matter how rich you may be. A person's life does not consist in the abundance of their possessions. Rather, Jesus is telling a parable describing how things are in God's kingdom. And some people have pointed out that willingness to give up that much for something so valuable could be seen, first of all, to describe what God has done for us. The best-known verse in the Bible tells us, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. If we ever wonder how much we matter to God, those words tell us that though the human race has taken a wrong turning and found ourselves far from him, God has been willing to pay an astonishingly high price to rescue us, to buy us back, if you like. That's how precious you and I are to the Lord. But there's another sense in which this important little parable tells us how things are in God's kingdom. It tells us how supremely valuable it is for us to gain the great pearl of being included. And it encourages us to think if there's anything else getting in the way of our following Jesus. If we've any sense, we'll be willing to give whatever those things are up in order that they don't stop us attaining the greatest prize. The passage we looked at in last week's annual meeting included the Apostle Paul's personal testimony. I think all things are worth nothing compared with the greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For to know Jesus and be part of his kingdom, both now and for eternity, is to find the greatest pearl, the greatest treasure we could ever find.